Wow.
So we our offices and everything are at the Stephen Foster Memorial. You know, have you heard of that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay. It's a park, and there's a museum there, and that's where we work. But we travel around the state a lot.
For what? What you're talking to?
To document various traditions of different groups.
What is the purpose of the whole thing, too?
To preserve it and to let people make this information available.
I'm not that interesting for the people, I guess.
I don't know about that.
What we're doing right now, we're doing a project on show people, and since Florida's the winter home for the circus, the carnival, all kinds of show people, especially around the Syrian Gibson.
Have you been in Sarasota?
Yes.
You have been?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Who you talked to there?
Joe McKinnon, a man who's written several books on the subject, and
worked in the circus.
He's not really a performer, then.
Did he ever perform in the circus?
No, he was a pitch man.
He was a pitch man.
Oh, he's
a carpenter.
Carnival man. You see, we don't associate, not associate, I wouldn't say, but we are not in the same class as carnival people.
Right.
No, they always say, oh, you're in a circus, you're in a carnival. I say, no, we're entertainers. That's a big difference. Right. An entertainer and a carnival man.
Yes.
Because the circus business is a honest business for children. Everybody can see, but the carnival people are not always honest enough for the public, because the games and so forth, you see. And that's not the right thing for kids again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the circus business, this is a real business for the family. It's the only family business in America, I think, today. Because rock and roll and all these things is not a family entertainment, I think, because the small kids, they can't get nothing out of it. Of course, they jump around, too. This is not the only family business, I think, is the circus business.
How did you get started in it?
Oh, my father was in the business, of course. I'm from Germany. My father is now 89. 1989, 1990, and he was 80, over 80, with bears, and with lions, and with elephants, and a bicycle. I did a bicycle, like when I came to America, with my wife. So then I thought I'd like to make a little bit more money, so I bought some chimpanzees that time, and went in the chimpanzee business. This is 30 years, almost 30 years ago, and we did very well with chimpanzees. And my son, I did an acrobatic act with him when he was a small boy. Now he's out on his own and his wife, and he took over the chimps and the dogs before we worked together with the chimps. So I'm retired, kind of, because I was sick, had problems with my bladder. But I'm all right now, and I like to go out again. I feel good.
Did you perform in the circus in Europe?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What are the differences between the European circus and American circus?
I would say the European circus is more classy, more nice, and more perfect. The American circus is only one ring in Europe. You see, everybody can see a real good act. Over here, we have some good acts and some bad acts, but with 3, 4, 5 rings, people don't notice. You see? They see everything and they say nothing. Because it's so many things to see but they all do this here for big business. It's money again, you know. Big money is in some circus business. Of course, it's going down now because of all the inflation today. So the show business is going down too.
Did you need to come in? No. Oh, okay. I was going to say, anytime you need to, it's okay.
So that's the difference there, that you see much more better acts than over here, often, very often, because it's only one ring. Everybody has to concentrate on that one act, while here you have so many acts, and but people don't notice if is this a better act. Nobody can tell, really.
Do you see the same kind of acts in?
Oh yeah, sure. You have good acrobats, and you have good animal acts, very good animal acts, and you have all kinds of acts, of course. Like you have here, most acts came from Europe over here.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that.
The most acts came from over here, from over there. And then, of course, when you get so used to the working conditions, you don't want to go back anymore. I wouldn't go back and live in Europe anymore.
Yeah. Well, another thing...
Because this country is the best country in the world right now for performers and for the public. Because when you go and see all this stuff that you have here, you can get it in no place. No, I mean, West Germany and Switzerland and they're going to get everything too, but it's so high. The tax is so much more higher than here. We complain about tax. Of course, I complain too because they put me in a higher bracket now. Last year, I didn't pay any tax here because I have the retirement, tax deductible, see? And now they took this off. I don't know why, but they say, yeah, but you get more deductible. But everybody gets it now. So I pay over $100 in tax, almost $200 in tax for this old place here. And before I didn't pay nothing. So that bothered me a little bit because I have no income, actually. I have my social security and my wife, too. So it makes it tough on people like that. But in all those other countries, they pay 40% tax from their salary, the people. In Sweden, Denmark, Germany, they pay 40-50% tax. If you make $100, you pay $40 tax on it or more sometimes. Yeah, so we are still better off here, you know?
Well,
and the comfort and everything we have here. Mm-hmm. You don't have all that in Europe.
I was curious. Some people have been telling us that the circus in Europe is much more of a family kind of tradition. It's passed down.
Oh yeah, very often, of course. Yeah, very often, most of the time. You see, I grew up in a circus, and then I didn't want to be a performer. But then finally, I thought that when I was getting a little bit teenager, I thought I have to do something. So I started training and did my own act then. I went away from the family when I was 18, and I lived in Denmark. My wife is from Denmark. I lived there for 12 years, and I lived 5 years in Sweden. And I like those kind of wonderful countries over there. So not the same anymore now, but before it was wonderful countries, those Germany, Sweden, Scandinavian, Holland, I was all over there, England. And so then I get a contact to come to America in 49 with a big agency in New York.
With what circus?
That was mostly fairs that time and theaters, like movie theaters. At that time they had still movie theaters, so we did a lot of vaudeville, like in New York, the Palace or different places, or Latin Quarter nightclubs or something. I had an act for nightclubs more than for circus. I didn't like the box circus because circus business is not the nice place. Like I like places like you have in Las Vegas, nice nightclubs or something like this. Or theaters was nice, clean. You could have a tie on and everything nice. But the circus business, you go like running around here and you move around and it's a little bit dusty and the places and it's not the classy places like those nice nightclubs like in Europe too, you know. I worked mostly nightclubs in New York. And my father was in the circus business, of course, for many, many years. He worked with one show for 30 years, the same show like some people here in the Ringling Show, they are for 10, 20 years in the Ringling Show. Eh? So this is a good show, the Ringling Show is a good show. But
did you ever work for the Ringling?
No, I never worked for them. I had a chance a couple of times, but then something came in between. I get another date and it was too late, you know. They offer you a date, and when you're not open in that time, you have to go to some other place, so you lose the date there. I could have sat and been a Ringling for several years too, which is not the biggest deal, but you know, you work all the time. Now, the way we work, now my son, he goes out in the summertime, he starts now in March with the show, and comes back in October. And then sometime, you don't have anything in the wintertime, except maybe you go out for New York, to New York State or something. Then you don't want to go in the cold weather like now. He could have gone up, but it's so cold, and it costs so much money to travel today. you have to be careful if you take a contract, how much money you make, so you can come back with a little bit savings. You don't work only for your living. Then you could sit here, and my son is a good welder or mechanic. He could sit here. But this business is a nice business. We like it. It's sometimes a very lazy business, you see. You can work when you want to, and if you don't work, you lay off. Of course, it costs you money. So if you're smart, like the most performers are not, they don't save enough money when they get older or lay off, you know. As more money you make, as more money you spend. Like any movie star, everything, they die broke, a lot of people. You know? And that's the same with performers. We made a lot of money in our time in America. And now, yeah, I have a little house and the place is paid. But big money I don't have. Mm-hmm. And so is most performers. And I tell my son, always watch it. He said, oh, you always talk about next year, next year. I only think about tomorrow, see? So those young people, they have a different ideas than we had when we was younger, of course. But of course, when we was younger, we spent just as much money, maybe, as they do today. Money is nothing in America. Everybody got money. Not everybody, but I mean, when you go in the supermarkets, people buy for $40, $50. I mean, bunch of things. You wonder, like Christmas, money is floating around. There's still too much money in America. We have to have more taxes. We have to have more inflation. Yeah.
Well, did you work then as an independent act, and you would book?
Yeah, we have our agents, different agents. Yeah. I have a lot of agents who have been performers before. So, we know them for years, and they book us. If you have a good act, you still can make pretty good living. My son is doing three acts, which is very tough, very hard. Do a dog act and a chimp act and an acrobatic act. And three acts in a show when you maybe have to do two and three shows a day. That's pretty tough, very hard on him. And then not alone, but then you have to move from one day, town to another town. Maybe like he was in one show, you had to move every day for 6 months, 7 months. And that is awful tough on you. And it costs so much money today. He bought this new truck for 2 years ago, and it cost him $18,000, the truck alone. And then he has to have a trailer to live in. And then, of course, on the road, gas and repairs. And so, but he's lucky that he can do a lot of repairs himself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I never could do that because I wasn't interested in repair shops or private working places. I want to be a performer. I've been a performer now. I'm 72 now, and I started when I was 8.
How did you start? With your father?
Yeah, with my father, yeah.
Doing what?
Doing the bicycle act. Yeah.
What, a unicycle?
Unicycle, not so much unicycle, because we did more trick bicycles on a regular bike, see, which is much more harder than a unicycle. Everybody can ride a unicycle. All the kids in the high schools, they ride unicycles. But the things I did takes a lot of practice for years. And he wanted to do it, my son, but I said, don't start first, because I know you have to have a lot of patience, a lot of energy to do this every day for 3-4 hours practice. He don't like to do that.
We would like handstands?
Handstands, and it's hard to explain. I did a lot of, on a bicycle, tricks like you don't see today anymore, you know. You're jumping around the handlebar, and you stay on your back wheel and turn around, and a headstand on the saddle, and I had a tandem where I went up and down on the tandem and did little spins and so forth. This is a thing that we had in Europe, a couple acts like this, but in America it actually has never been an act like this, really perfection like I did at times. And today I can hardly do anything anymore because you didn't practice, you don't train anymore. I tried it a little while ago, and I was surprised why I couldn't do it no more, because I did a good job years ago.
Well,
and you lose it if you're not in training. Of course, I was sick a little bit and so. So if you're not in training, you lose your balance and your power.
Well, your son was just practicing. How much does he have to practice to keep that up?
Well, this he practices every day, maybe half an hour. So, because he cannot do this and he cannot... Then, see, like now, he is building for a friend of ours, for a bear act, he builds cages because he's a good welder and he asks him if he could do this for him because he pays him for it. Eh? So he files and do, and he likes that, to do that. That's one good thing when you get older like me. I never could do anything else. Never. Eh? I could only ride on the bicycle and train some dogs and chimps. But he, at least he has a chance and he likes it. He fixed my motor up, this car we bought, and put a whole new motor in that car, which he worked 3 days on. Eh? But this is something I couldn't understand how people could do. This is terrible to be a mechanic. You know? So those guys should make good money too, because that's a hard job too for a mechanic, I think.
Well, how did you switch over then to training dogs? How did you learn how
Yeah, like I told you, we had the bicycle act here, and we worked for 3 years with the bicycle act, and then I thought I didn't make enough money. So I bought a chimpanzee, one chimpanzee, and this chimp lived with us in a trailer, see, and he was like a kid to us. See? And then finally I trained him, and I got interested more and more in training chimpanzees because I worked with my father with bears in Europe. He had bears for many, many years. See? And I know a little bit about wild animals, like bears and chimpanzees and so. Not lions or something, I didn't go for that.
How do you train a chimp? To do it like a specific trick.
Yeah, this is it's a very hard thing to explain. You have to see it. I mean, you show him, you put him in the hand, if you want to do a handstand, you lift him up in the hind legs, hind feet, and push him up, and then push him up, and push him up. And when you want him to ride a bicycle, you put him on a bicycle. I have special small bicycles for them. And you put him on the bicycle and try to let him learn to handle the steering. And then the feet, after that, that takes at least a year to teach a chimpanzee to ride a bicycle. And people think a chimpanzee has to do it right away. It's not so. You will not see many chimpanzee acts today who can ride a bicycle. They ride motorbikes because it's easier. You see, a motorbike, you don't have to pedal. You don't have to push the bicycle. I have one chimp there. He sits on a bicycle and he drives around, but you have to push him, or you have to have him on a leash to pull him. He won't pedal. He won't push. He steers and he can ride the bicycle. So a lot of acts, they say, oh yeah, he can ride a bicycle. He can't ride a bicycle. If you see an animal with almost all in a leash, but you can see if he rides alone the bicycle or he rides alone the motorbike, and this takes a long time because that's why people don't want to do this. Eh? I have some dogs. They stand on one finger with one paw. I do a handstand here and do a handstand on my head. See. This is things people don't, the other performers don't go in for so much. To take easier, there's many easier things to do. I like to do something that other people don't do, which is very hard, of course. It takes an awful long time.
Do you do, when you're training them, do you do a system of like reward and...
Yeah, I have, when I train here, see, there's my small pups where I train every day with my small dogs. I have two fox terriers and I have a little mutt, which is very smart. And a big poodle, have four, and they're very, very nice animals. Eh? And I have some food for them. A lot of times it's not good to train them with food. See? Because he gets used to it. You want to give them the food and you wait for it. So it's not necessary to train them with food. You train them, you say, come here, go up on your hind legs, you help them up and have them in the leash, hold them up and so forth. And it's a different, everybody has a different ideas of training. The way I train them, I think not many people do because I don't abuse them, first of all. And I found out, which I didn't know when I was younger too, that you can get more out of an animal when you treat them nice. They all love me. kiss me all the time, all the time. And I have two in my trailer there. See, my wife is sick, we have the house here, but she can clean the house, so she wants to live in a trailer. So I can, to me, it makes no difference. I haven't been a gypsy all my life. I live in a trailer, just as good, I feel good there as in the house. So, and we have a lot of room to move around if we want to, and that's important. And this is paid, which is important. And your home, you have a home. Whenever you come from the road after 7, 8 months, maybe 10 months, you're happy to come home. You can do whatever you want to do.
Are there certain breeds of dogs that are smarter than others?
Yeah, breeds, I wouldn't say. I like poodles. They're pretty nice, but they're not the smartest. And I like mutts, because I have one mutt, and my son has one mutt, and they're very, very nice dogs, you know, very pretty smart dogs. And you can train almost every dog, but not every dog is can do this trick or the other trick. Some dog is better for doing a handstand here. Some other dogs never can do this. So you have to find out, the same with chimpanzees, which trick is they can feel better, you know. One chimp is riding the bicycle of mine there, the other one never learned it really. So, and I train the same time with them. Every animal do the same tricks. I train the same time with them. So I don't handle chimps too much now because my son don't want me to handle him, because they get so used to me, see. Every time they see me, when he's away for 8 months and he come back and they know me, because I start them when he was babies. And they know me exactly, and to other people, they're mean, they bite them, they bite, see. And I can go to them after 8 months like I used to do. Well, and his wife is a little bit nervous because they can be very mean, those chimps. So she's afraid that they bite her if I go too much to her, see. And this is a stupid animal, a chimpanzee, because if I get mad at him and I slap him, he bites you, but he don't bite me. And so this is the same thing with my son. Now he's a little bit rough to him, and he gets scared or mad, he go after his wife.
Because I wonder, when you had said you were sick earlier and were in the hospital and you had the chimp, the war monkey that you have put to sleep. When people have acts and they retire or whatever and want to sell their animals, do they usually put them to sleep because of the training?
No. Usually you have a dog for so, even when you're a, if I don't go out, I keep my dogs. I have now the four dogs. I don't want to give them away, except I give them to my son because he could walk with them. But even if they don't do nothing, like we love animals. My wife, she's crazy with animals. So you get so attached to those animals. You don't want to give them away to anybody. Maybe don't treat them right. And a lot of people don't do. A lot of people have dogs, and when they're small, they buy them for the kids. Oh, they're so cute. And when they grow up, they let them run loose. They get killed on the highway. Things like that don't happen to us because we watch them. We have the gate that be closed. We have them on a leash if they have to go into the show, or we watch them all the time. And you are a slave of those animals, because my son have to feed them in the morning. He feeds him by 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, the chimps, and then he feeds him again at night by 5, 6 o'clock. And then at night sometime you have to go up with the chimps to see if it's hot enough. Like here in Florida, it's nice warm in the summertime, in the daytime, and at night gets very cold. So you have to watch them day and night. You can't go too far away. We go to Sarasota, somebody has to stay here, maybe, see? They go to Sarasota, I want to go. No, then I go next time, visit some friends or so. So this is pretty tough. When you have animals, you're a slave of the animals. And if you don't take care of them, they cannot do you a good living. And if you're mean to them, that makes it bad for the animals too. And that's not the right way to handle animals. I think I've learned now to treat them right after many years. Because I didn't treat them right maybe when I started. You don't understand an animal. If you don't understand an animal, the things he can do,
capability.
Capability. If you don't find out, You can train them. You can train them because a lot of people train them and they train them something different. The dog maybe is not good for or something. So that takes many years to really be a good animal. Some people never will be animal trainers or animal people. They have animal acts, but they will don't treat them the right way it should be.
Did you ever want to be anything else?
No. I was not very smart for that. I was never interested in anything else. I was only a performer all my life. And still today I like to go out and go out once in a while, of course. I like it at home here. But when everybody's gone, then you feel a little bit funny, you know, when you're home. And all my life I've been going now for 60 years. Yeah, almost, yeah, over 60 years. I've been traveling around all over the place. When I was 15 years old, I was in Russia with my parents. You know, and all over Europe, of course.
Did you want to be a performer all your life?
Yeah, he grew up with me. When he was 5 years old, he worked with me in act two. So, you know, this is kind of the kids, the most kids, and they're all good kids, the performer kids. Most of them are good kids because they live with their parents all the time. They not lose like a wild dog or wild. People let them go. The people today, they let them go and pass, go to school, and then after school, the parents are working. And the kids are all by themselves, of course, they can't get in trouble. So kids who is with you all the time, I say he's 30 years old now, he's still with me. But now he maybe can get in trouble, see? Now I can't watch him so much anymore. But those kids are almost all of them, 99% good kids, performer kids. And the interested always... The parents, in the circus with all those other kids, they do something, they want to do something. So that makes it, they're always busy. They go to school, he went to school and here in Gibsonton, and then on the route we had those corresponding school. He didn't get too good grades, I guess. Like I never had good grades, but I made a good living. A lot of millionaires, they made bad grades and they get rich. That is my mistake. I didn't get rich, you know.
Do you have children yet? When you do you think maybe they'll continue on?
Well, I guess, it depends if you want to force them doing something if you want to. Yeah. I would imagine.
Well, a lot of performers force them to be performers, the kids. But I never did. I never forced them. So we trained. I love to train them. He did handstands and stay on my head and ride the unicycle and... No, he do his own act there, of course. So that's automatically, it's your life goes automatically without you feeling that you be a performer. Then at once, you know, if you live like this all the time. Yeah.
And your wife is a performer?
Yeah, she was a performer too, yeah. She worked with me in a bicycle act and she worked with me in a chimp act, chimpanzee act. Yeah.
Was her family?
No, she was not, no.
She just started when she met you?
Yes. I train her like a dog. Like a dog. I train my dog.
I just wanted to come out and defend
yourself
here. I
just
said, what?
Was your wife in those?
Our family was, yeah.
So does she perform with you?
The family from his wife, they do teeterboard act, you know? Those teeterboard acrobatics. Yeah, and she was in that act. When he met her. And of course, then she left the family because in a minute she saw him, she left him, left the family, of course. It's natural, then.
Mm-hmm. So, what nationality, what was her maiden name?
Well, she was Hungarian.
See, we are international. Yeah. I'm German. He's born in America. My wife is from Denmark. His wife is from Hungary. My chimps are from Africa. And I have French poodles.
Are there certain acts that different, like, say, the Hungarians do a certain act better than
Yeah, they usually do, yeah. They do acrobatics, teeterboards, the Hungarians. Much teeterboard.
What about Italian?
Very good. Italians, they do all kinds of stuff, teeterboard, acrobatics, and like any German or not too many Danish acts or so, but so That depends on, I don't know why it happened. You know, in my case, it happens because I was with my father. And in his case, he was with me. So he started to be, I was a bicycle man. So he started bicycle and acrobatics. And then, of course, now with the animals.
Are the British known for any kind of act?
Oh, yeah, they do. They do a lot of good stuff, too, the British. They do mostly comedy acts again, you know, like... years ago, it was more vaudeville, everything. So you went in for comedy, like talking, and they're not so good with acrobatic acts like Hungarians or Italian and German. They're more in comedians or singing,
horse
acts, you know, good.
Yeah. Somebody said that, is it Latin American or Mexican... people were known for...
They do for high wire acts, a lot of high wire acts.
Yeah.
Mexican and South American people, they come over here always with a high wire act, you know.
Yeah.
Many of those guys, yeah. And, of course...
Do you want to sit down?
No, there's
time for more. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's a business. It's an interesting business because you see something new all the time. Always something happen. You know, I think you don't get as easy old as in a private business. See, a man who goes in a factory or in a repair shop, he's going with his file for years and years. He get miserable in a place like this. When I see him or I go to the automobile shop, he's so busy, he is so miserable, he don't want to talk to you. When he come home, he's so tired. And I think the family life is not as good too, you know, because if the man is tired and miserably had problems with the boss, we are our own boss, actually. You work for somebody and get your money and you do a good job, of course, you have to. Otherwise, you don't like you, don't come back. You always want to come back to the same shop. Eh? And but you're independent, you're your own boss. And if you're good, you know, that picks you up and makes you feel good.